The scriptures are printed in your bulletin. You can follow along if you like. Romans 8, 22 to 28, and 35 to 39. Reading from the New International Version. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we eagerly wait for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
I think this text from Romans that you just heard, for me at least, is one of the richest texts in Scripture. It speaks of language and creation and spirit and longing and restlessness, journey and hope. That's my list. Are there any other words come to your mind when you hear this? What are the themes? One of the reasons I like this passage is because it conveys the idea that there is this spiritual interplay between us, God, and all of creation. Paul reminds us that it's not just us. We're not going it alone. Creation, too, is waiting and longing. We're not alone in our anticipation of renewal and expectancy and hope. The Spirit is with us. The Spirit is actively expressing a kind of longing for completion with us. All of creation waits with sighs and groans too deep for words. Too deep for words. Preachers would do well, or would be well served, to remember this phrase. Words as powerful and wonderful and sometimes dangerous as they are in relation to the depth and mystery of reality are blunt instruments. This truth that words are limited for preachers is both frustrating and also liberating. Words only take us so far. We don't always know what to say, the scripture reminds us, and that is okay. Sometimes we just have to be quiet, listen to our bodies, feel our breath, and let the Spirit move and be with us. Sometimes the Spirit makes us laugh. Sometimes there are tears. Sometimes anger. Sometimes, as Paul reminds us, sighs too deep and mysterious for words. Sometimes there's just silence. This is the language of what we call prayer. It's much deeper than words. The Spirit is gentle and truthful companion who comes and sits beside us and is merely present with us in our fragile, confused, and humble state. I am who I am, who I am, God reminded Moses. And by that same Spirit, using that same, hearkening to that same essence, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am with you always. Not mere words or thoughts or ideas, but holy presence beyond words. In one of the seminary classrooms where I attended so long ago, I remember one of the pieces of art on the wall. It was a cartoon drawing of a person, presumably a preacher, I guess, striking an oratory pose with mouth open and one finger gesturing in the air as if making a profound point. You know, something. And coming out of his mouth or her mouth were swirling around the head written in various fonts. Words, 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 words. The point being, I suppose, sometimes words are overrated. Something preachers need to remember. Words are limited. Too many words can make sound become meaningless. This may sound odd. For preachers, along with such folks as writers, poets, journalists, commentators, and so forth, words are the essence of their vocation. But anyone who works with words when speaking of spiritual realities knows that verbal language is a limited tool by which we seek to describe things too mysterious and wonderful for verbal language alone. And so Paul describes this condition as expressions of sighs and groans too deep for words. So this is my last chance for using the blunt instrument of words from this pulpit to say something that is hopefully true and good news. Blunt instruments though they be, it's what I have. For the past 2 years, while I have filled in as your interim pastor, you have called me to share what I have believed the Spirit was moving me to speak as understood through the biblical witness of Scripture. For the most part, I think you have learned that my focus is not on God's anger, but rather upon God's delight. Not on God's judgment, but rather upon God's forgiveness. Not on God's abandonment, but on God's presence. Not on God's disappointment, but God's possibility. Not on original sin, but on original goodness. Not on God's distance, but on God's closeness. I have spoken in this way about God, ultimate reality, because I know it to be true. For some, this may seem like soft theology. Some might consider it cheap grace. For some, this may smack of feel-goodism, as if there were something wrong with feeling good. Sometimes I have to wonder if the good news is just too good for even Christians to truly grasp. Yet as I have preached from this pulpit these past 2 years, I know that I have also touched upon things that have challenged and made us uncomfortable, especially when it comes to matters of faith and how faith comes up against certain cultural and political realities. As I said last Sunday, these things are not spoken of easily or lightly. But the church must be honest and brave enough to boldly proclaim light into the dark shadows of anger and fear and spiritual poverty. In times past and in times present, God has tasked the church with this one question: what is it to be faithful in this broken world? Paul, no doubt, was wrestling with these same tensions relevant to his time. How does one preach Christ crucified and risen in a world that seems fixated on death rather than life? What does Christ risen mean in a world that is divided by fear rather than united in hope? For Paul, the challenges were issues of grace and law, and inclusion versus exclusion of Gentiles. For the early church, before Constantine, it was loyalty to emperor versus loyalty to Christ. For the church in the time of the Reformation, it was loyalty to the church as institution versus loyalty to individual conscience and scripture. For our times, the challenge is being faithful to Christ in a so-called postmodern world where the previously known patterns of being church, ways many of us grew up with, no longer seem to translate to those outside the church walls. For our times, the vacuous values of materialism and narratives of consumption and competition are quickly proving to be narratives of death and suffering. And so the church is being called to renew or re-understand itself in this dangerous context, where the old world is passing, but God is still God. A new thing is emerging. But we don't know for sure what it is. The Spirit is groaning through us for the emergence of a new thing. We just have to be open, be brave, and trust in the goodness of the Spirit, which Paul says groans with us and through us. Deep down, people are tired of the old ways of exclusion and division. At the core of every human soul is a deep knowledge that the current modes of distraction won't satisfy us. Every indicator of science and of common sense point us to the great truth that we will never be able to escape. We are all connected. At our very core spiritual selves, made in God's image, as the Bible declares, there is no slave or free, Greek or Jew, male or female. In Christ, we are all one. Those are the labels, but underneath, we are the image of God. We are one. Recently, some of us, as Kathy just shared during worship time, saw the documentary film about the late Fred Rogers, Won't You Be My Neighbor? If you didn't grow up watching Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood on PBS television, your kids or grandkids probably did. Let's see a show of hands. Who watched Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? Gosh. All right. He's almost as famous as, well, I don't know. I was going to say Jesus, but that wouldn't work. No. Some people think he should be canonized as a saint, but I came of age a little too old to watch him as a kid. As a young person, he was generally an object for parody as I grew up. But how so many of us now long for that same spirit of thoughtfulness and kindness. Just to sit back in a safe place and have someone look directly at you, even though through a TV screen, and take seriously your experience and feelings and listen intently and speak thoughtfully. How much we need that Spirit today. How much we all need to hear the words, I'm glad you're here. There is only one person in the world like you. There is so much to learn and grow in this life, and you are loved and appreciated. Why is that such a difficult thing for us to say, let alone believe? That is the voice of the Spirit. We need to hear more voices that can listen with real empathy and take seriously the troublesome feelings and thoughts we struggle with, who can name the reality, who won't mask over it, but listen. We need voices that can affirm that we are all sacred human beings created in God's image, and as such, God declares us precious and okay. The church's message should be lean into God's grace and let God grow you up into the beautiful image you are called to become and which you already are. You deserve to be here because you are called and because everyone deserves respect. That's not what some might dismiss as feel-good entitlement. That's the gospel. That's the word of life that the world longs to hear in a time when folks at the highest levels of power speak words of division and fear, and losers and winners. There is absolutely nothing biblical about the language of scarcity, fear, and division. Let us remember also this very day, as I lit that candle and reminded us, there are hundreds of frightened and angry white folks marching in the streets of Washington, D.C., because they believe a false narrative of division and fear. They are angry and scared, and they are our brothers and sisters. Where did this terrible lie come from? How has this lie unperceptively made its way into our own hearts? Are we in the church ready to confront this lie and call it for what it is? Are we ready to address this fear with the message of Christ's love? Do we have the courage as a church to stand with our bodies in the midst of the storms of fear and hatred and call out to the one who calls the storms and feeds the multitudes? Are we ready to share that Christ with the world? Because the world is ready and needing it. And we have it. So let us share it. It will take courage. Let us take a moment right now. And let us hold in prayer those scared and deluded souls who carry fearful narratives of hatred. Let us begin with a deep sigh. Breathe in. In this silence, imagine Christ amongst the angry crowds. What is he doing? Now, as you sit there in the pew, feel Christ with you. He's right beside you. Again, breathe deep and sigh. How does it feel to have Jesus sitting right beside you? What is he saying? Now, ask for the Spirit's blessing to be upon this world. Know that this is God's desire. That's literally what Paul is talking about. That is the sound of those who lean upon the grace and the power of God at work in the world. May AMC, Albany Mennonite Church, always walk forward together, knowing that the Spirit walks beside and will never fail you. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to believe, but that's what the gospel calls us to. Let us close our meditation with reading together the amazing words of good news Paul reminds us of. Let's start at the bottom of your bulletin. Together we'll read beginning with 38, verse 38. It's amazing, unbelievable, true words. Together let us read. For I am convinced that neither life nor death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the blessed assurance that the sighs and groans you are experiencing are not in vain.